And it is Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO Radio on this Tuesday, June the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2014. And being a Tuesday, that means it's Ruminations Tuesday. And with us is the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I was surprised how early you were here.
Yes.
But you've moved to a new location. You want to make sure you're on time.
Exactly. I always allow for a flat tire or something. You know?
Yes. Well, it's hard on those bikes, you know, sometimes. You're still riding the bike here?
Oh, I'll tell you, there was a motorcycle just weaving in and out of traffic this morning on the expressway. Boy, I'll tell you, I can't. That guy is cruising for a bruising sooner or later.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Yes.
Well, hey, we had three people visit our church Saturday, all faithful listeners of the radio program.
What radio program?
This one.
Oh, this one.
Yes.
No. Wes, who's on Thursdays, you know, he's got people in his town,
no
you know,
kidding.
Who now listen.
Yeah.
So, yes, the more folks hear Lutheran theology, it is so unusual that it is very satisfying and comforting to them. So that's good. Now, after they heard you preach, they said they're not coming back.
They probably have a change of mind now.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to go over to the Methodist church or whatever. Okay. Let's say I have an invitation to somebody that that they need a ride somewhere. So I'm going to drive them myself. But as they get into the car, I say, by the way, I kind of weave in and out of traffic. I go over the speed limit, and you might want to close your eyes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know what that's like.
Yes.
Having ridden with you before.
Would somebody like that want to drive with me? It doesn't sound like it. And yet the hymn that we're looking at today, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, because verse 2 says, if we do that, we're going to suffer and we're going to die.
Yeah, let us suffer here with Jesus. But the last verse, let us also live with Jesus. And isn't that interesting? You know, first, let us ever walk with Jesus. Let us suffer here with Jesus. Let us gladly die with Jesus. And then the last verse, let us also live with Jesus.
Yes, but it's the suffering and dying that doesn't sound to be too enticing.
No.
To somebody.
No.
In fact, let me put it this way. I was just listening to individual interviewing atheists, and he said to them, okay, let's say that we can prove to you that there is a God. Would you then worship him? And the atheist said, you mean you could prove to me that the God of the Bible does exist? And he said, yes. He said, no, I wouldn't worship him because I think he's a cruel God.
He's of course, greatly mistaken.
Well, of course he's greatly mistaken. But when you read a hymn like this, to become a Christian, you're going to suffer, you're going to die. Yeah, you're going to live too, but we really need to put that in context for people.
Of course. Of course.
Well, one of the things that I'm finding, my sermons best go over when they're really clear. Why are you laughing at that?
That mystifies me. That's
yes.
And how rare is that, Tom?
About once a year, I do a sermon. In fact, last week, people were complimenting me on the sermon I did. I did at Grace Pagedale.
For once, they understood you.
Yes, and I said, well, that's because Louise wrote it. And they said she did. you see, it's one thing to say that you're justified by grace through faith.
Yes.
That's not understood by people.
No.
That's simply not understood. And I am finding the way to clarify is by using analogies, hopefully from the Bible, but also ones you just make up.
Right.
You always got to clarify that. So that even a hymn, Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus, does need clarification for people to understand it. So why don't we start with that? Why don't you read the first stanza?
Okay. Let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example pure, through a world that would deceive us, and to sin our spirits lure. Onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims here, our home above, full of faith and hope and love, let us do the Father's bidding. Faithful Lord, with me abide, I shall follow where you guide.
Yes, I'm going to ask you the question, let us ever walk with Jesus, follow his example, pure. Pure. What is that?
We can try.
Define you. Well, see, I don't think it's referring to us. I think it's referring to his example.
Okay.
His example is pure.
Yes, right, of course.
No, not ours at all.
But we're not able to follow it purely.
No, no. But his example is a pure one to follow.
You absolutely agree with that. That explains it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know you always talk about how, you know, Jesus is such a difficult example to follow.
Yes.
Because he is pure, absolutely pure.
And by the way, he's not your savior because you're to follow his example and therefore be saved. He's your savior because he does it all for you.
Exactly.
And so that's the most important thing, I think, in this first stanza, that the pure is referring to the example of Jesus, not us. And his example is pure. What does that mean, pure?
Well, it's without any sin.
Yes.
I mean, completely perfect following of the law that he accomplished on this earth.
And explains it in the very next portion where it says, through a world that would deceive us and to sin our spirits lure. You see, Jesus was not lured.
No, not at all.
And he was not deceived either.
No.
And I think that's really what we're referring to, that we follow his example, that his example is a pure example, not ours, and we do the best we can. And it's only able to be done by the Holy Spirit and through faith.
Yeah, well, I learned something today, because I always, you know, it's funny, as I always sing that hymn, I've always felt like, this is just, the hymn writer is just trying to encourage us to do our best at leading a pure life like him. But yeah. You're right. He's the pure example which we can only begin to follow.
That's right. That's right.
And that's only with the help of the Holy Spirit.
And the other thing we want to say, that this, did you notice the category this is under?
Sanctification.
Yes, yes. Not justification.
Right. That's right.
That's
important.
And that is really important. And now we need to explain that and make it clear.
Yes.
Sanctification is the response we make to God after we are totally saved. Justification is the process by which God saves us, namely by putting faith in our heart. Yes.
It is finished. He has accomplished, he has established our salvation.
Yes. So this is not a hymn for unbelievers.
Right. Right.
Yes. The let us refers to us. In fact, I used to have problems with the end of my sermons, according to Dr. Martin Charlemagne. He said, you know, Tom, you do good law and gospel. When you get near the end, though, you end up with either salad or French endings.
Yes. Let us.
Yeah, let us.
They used to say, don't end a sermon, let us.
Right.
Or may we.
May we.
Because it has a way of pulling the carpet of God's grace right out from under us.
That's right.
You know, people walk out and they think, oh, I guess I'm not that good of a Christian.
That's right.
You know, because I haven't, you know, when you end a sermon on the note, let us do this, then it kind of, you know, you should end, people should know when they walk out of that sermon, they should know, boy, I'm a poor, miserable sinner, but thanks be to God, I'm forgiven in Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about that.
Yes, that's right. And that's why you want to end. To me, when it says the gospel should predominate, it means it also closes
absolutely,
the sermon.
Right.
Yes. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the news that you do not need to make a response for it to be effective. That's really important.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's no strings attached to it.
Yeah, no strings. It's like...
you are forgiven.
Yeah, it's like receiving an inheritance. As long as it's given to you, regardless if you're a relative, like I heard recently, a very rich man who died left an inheritance to a waitress that really took good care of him each time he went to that particular restaurant.
I heard about that too, I think.
Yeah, so... you just never know, and it didn't matter who she was.
You're always pretty good to your waitresses.
No.
Oh, no, it's the other way around.
It's the other way around, Mark.
Yeah. Well, you obviously weren't the benefactor then, were you?
No, not at all. No, I always like to leave a tip for the waitress, and I'll ask her, would you like to have a tip?
2%.
And she says, yes, and then here's the tip I give her. nothing you say, do, or think here on earth will make any difference whether you go to heaven or hell.
Uh-huh.
And she looks at me, what?
And I said, it's what she expected.
No, but we always have a good conversation. Now, it's got to be done with certain waitresses or waiters.
Yes. Yes, I know. I've gone out to eat with you before. I know what you're talking about.
So, onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims here our home above. What does that mean?
Well, we're but pilgrims here. Our home is in heaven. So we're citizens of heaven.
Yeah, so a pilgrim, how would you define
pilgrimage? This whole life is a pilgrimage. I mean, we're just it's a temporary existence for us.
Yes. Now, notice the motivation that needs to be there if we're going to follow his pure example. We need to be full of
faith and hope and love.
Yes.
Isn't that what it says?
That's
or
right.
You've got the wrong verse.
No, that's verse 1. It's full at the end.
Full of faith and hope and love.
Let us do the Father's bidding. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where you guide. Now notice how I'm able to follow if only he abides with me.
Right.
So the hymn needs to be understood as sanctification,
that's
not
right.
Justification. That's the first point we want to make. And second of all, apart from Jesus, forget it. You can't follow his pure example. You can only, insofar as the Holy Spirit is leading you.
Because now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You say it's got to be understood as sanctification. Is there no justification anywhere in there that you could point out? Is there any that you can think of? Any justification? Or is it all sanctification? I'm just asking you to help clarify for people out there.
Yes. If justification is the news about how God saves us, namely through the means of grace, I don't see that in this hymn. You know, and you'd have to look through it.
Right.
But it assumes justification.
It's probably in there somewhere. We just have to.
Well, let's go to verse 2. I'll read that.
All right.
Let us suffer here with Jesus and with patience bear our cross. Joy will follow all our sadness. Where he is, there is no loss. Though today we sow no laughter, we shall reap celestial joy. All discomforts that annoy shall give way to mirth hereafter. Jesus, here I share your woe. Help me there your joy to know. Now, this is really explaining to us what it means to suffer here with Jesus. That last line, I think, is very important. To suffer with Jesus means to share his woe. Now, once more, kids don't understand what the word woe means. W-O-E.
Share his sorrow.
Share his sorrow, the problems he went through.
Right.
And what were some of his problems? In fact, this Sunday's gospel lesson is an interesting one. I'm not preaching on it because I'm preaching for the retirement of a pastor. But remember, father will be against mother.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I did not come to bring peace but a sword.
Yeah. Boy, talk about another contradictory notion in the Bible.
Yeah,
the angels say to the shepherd, peace on earth. Jesus says to his disciples, peace. And then he says, I have not come to bring peace.
Right.
And the distinction, remember, theology is the art of making distinction, is the angels are talking about heavenly peace with the God the Father.
Right.
Jesus is talking about temporal peace.
That's right.
And he did not come to bring that.
The peace, we long for the peace which the world does not give.
That's right.
Only he can give it through his gospel.
The world can give a peace that isn't really what the church only gives. And that's that peace with God the Father. Remember, according to Corinthians, he's already reconciled with us. A lot of people think that the goal of Christianity is to get God to be reconciled, to appease his wrath. That's true in every other religion in the world, but it's not true in Christianity because the blood of Christ has already appeased his wrath. So this one, when we're talking about suffering here with Jesus, what we're really talking about, blessed are those of you who are persecuted for my name's sake. That's the kind of suffering.
Right.
And we could probably even lengthen it to talk about that he suffered because of the result of sin in the world. He became tired. He became hungry.
Sure.
He suffered the pains of the crucifixion. And so anytime that a sin-filled world leads us to that, that's also a kind of suffering that we would endure with him. But it's an important thing to keep in mind, therefore, that the suffering isn't just, you know, you break your leg or something like that. It has to do with your relationship to God that causes it. All right, would you read verse, stanza 3?
Let us gladly die with Jesus, since by death he conquered death. He will free us from destruction, give to us immortal breath. Let us mortify all passion that would lead us into sin, and, this is one of my favorite lines, and the grave that shuts us in shall but prove the gate to heaven. Jesus, here with you I die, there to live with you on high. Yeah, I love that. I love that line. And the grave that shuts us in shall but prove the gate to heaven. I can remember singing that with a tear in my eye.
Really?
A number of times.
Christianity is a totally different perspective on reality. You see, when we do a funeral sermon, we do so with the thinking that we have to give an interpretation of reality that people aren't aware of. Because a Christian interpretation of reality isn't common sense. It's contrary to common sense.
Right.
People die because they deserve it. It's a punishment of sin. And there's no doubt our temporal death is the cause of sin, but we see something else. And you said it well there, that the tomb is actually the gate to heaven. In fact, even at the point we die, the spirit goes immediately to heaven.
That's right.
And then the body, you know, follows. But let's examine a little bit more. Let us gladly die with Jesus. I don't think it's talking about temporal death. I think it's talking about the death.
Well, the death, we die... We're buried in our baptism.
Yes.
We die with him when he went to the cross. We die to sin.
Yes.
Is that what it's talking about?
Well, you read it. Let us mortify all passion that would lead us into sin. I believe that the death that's being talked about here is when we repent of our sins, that we put our ego to death.
Uh-huh.
That the self is put to death. The old Adam is put to death.
Uh-huh.
And we no longer now look to our works and our deeds as the reason why we're saved.
Well, I've just learned something else from you this morning.
Well, remember Romans 6.
I've never thought of it that way, but let us gladly... I always thought, well, you know, that's part of the Christian life is death. Let us die.
That's interesting, what
Jesus.
You just said. Part of the Christian life is death.
Yeah, well, you know, it's part of life.
It's a paradox.
Right.
Yes, that we die to self.
Right.
In fact, that was a big, big, important truth of the Reformation, that the death that occurs is the death of ourself. And that's why God always says repent, because repent means more than just, well, I'm sorry that I sinned. It's actually a recognition of being terrified of God for what he, you know, could do to us because of our sinful nature. And the only way we
That's what we mean when we say we should fear and love God.
That's right.
Really what we mean.
That's right.
We should realize what ominous power he has, and he holds our life in his hands.
And we love him because we know that ominous power comes from a God of mercy,
yes, mercy.
Who does not give us what we deserve,
but gives
and
us
a
grace.
God of grace who gives us what we don't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And every other religion in the world thinks of him as a God of justice in this sense, that he gives you what you deserve. And that's why they have to appease him, because they recognize they're wrong. There's two ways to think you're saved when you know that you get what you deserve. The one way is to minimize the law, like the Pharisees did. We haven't committed murder.
Yeah, we're sons of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to anybody.
That's exactly right. And then Jesus points out even the thought. is a sin. And even, you know, the word can be a murder equal to it. So that's one way in which people think that they are not really as bad a sinner as God considers them to be by minimizing the extent of the law. The other way is they think that they pay it off. And that also was the Pharisees to some degree, the unbelieving ones, who thought by the ceremonial laws. Right. Remember the guy?
Right.
I am better than that publican.
That publican over there.
Because I fast, I tithe.
I pray several times.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's why the disciples are astonished when the rich man who goes...
who has leisure time to go to the temple, to study the scriptures, all that. And yet Jesus says it's more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to be saved.
And the disciples say, who then can be saved? And Jesus says, oh.
With man it's impossible.
With you it's impossible. Oh, thanks. In fact, the law is really good news to the new man. I got to really explain this because it takes away the burden of having to improve ourselves.
Yes, yes. The burden is all on him as he hung on the cross.
Remember, that's what the curse of the law is. It's up to you to save yourself.
That's right.
And by God's grace, we then know that that can't be true.
And that's why the pure gospel is so precious. Because if you rob, you know, if you don't come clear on that, it robs us of the gospel.
Exactly.
Robs us of that assurance.
Let's go to stanza four. Let us also live with Jesus. He has risen from the dead, that to life we may awaken. Jesus, you are now our head. We are your own living members. Where you live, there we shall be in your presence constantly, living there with you forever. Jesus, let me faithful be. Life eternal grant to me. Now, here's my question to you. We are now your living members. Where you live, there we shall be. See, that sounds like a future that's going to happen. But the next line contradicts that.
Yeah.
In your presence constantly.
Yes. He's with us even now.
Yes. And in fact, we're at the right hand of God.
Right.
According to Ephesians. That we've not only died with him. See, died with him already. Mm-hmm. We've not only risen with him, but we've also ascended to the right hand of God. And it is involved with this because he is now our head. We're the body, and then you can't separate the head from the body. Where the head is, so also is the body. So what we would say is that we are with Jesus in heaven, in Christ.
In Christ, right.
I remember Good News had an entire publication just entitled In Christ. What a difference being in Christ means. And that was one of the examples that we're already at the right hand of God in Christ. So it starts off,
it gets even better than that.
Go ahead.
Right. It gets even better than that, of course. That's not where it ends.
No. As it says, living there with you forever, Jesus, let me faithful be, life eternal grant to me. Now, it's important to understand why we get life eternal then. I said this not long ago in a seminar. You go into heaven the same way you go into the church, by grace, through faith, on account of Jesus.
By grace, through faith. Now, hey, let me ask you. Why is it so critical that we get the prepositions right on that, by grace, through faith, and not get them confused? Because I've heard them confused.
Well, evangelicals say the opposite. They say that we're saved by faith through grace. In other words, grace is a power source that enables us to make a decision to have faith. And they look to their action of having faith. I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be analyzing a sermon by Billy Graham. And he starts the sermon off, I don't want to give too much away, but how can you be sure that you're going to heaven? And you're going to find out he believes that you're sure because you invited Christ into your heart.
You decide,
remember, you got to
my
come
decision.
Forward.
Yeah, yeah. His article used to be entitled, My Decision.
Yeah, yeah, that was his journal.
Right.
Yeah, Decision. And... that is therefore an answer to your question, why you got to get the prepositions right. Because if you say you're saved by faith, then that's a heresy. That somebody will ask you, how do you know you're saved? I have faith.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not right.
No.
Yeah. Faith is only the hand that grasps, that receives.
The theologian of the cross, when asked the question, why are you saved? His answer is quite different. And what is it? I'm saved because...
purely by the grace of Christ, his cross.
Yes. Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's the reason that I am saved. And it's something that we need to understand, that the theologian of the cross thinks entirely differently than the theologian of self-righteousness. Because in self-righteousness, you're always taking a look to see how good you are. Do I have the right faith? And that can be very dangerous, because people will come to the conclusion, boy, I don't have proper faith.
Now, you don't mean to say that just because they get the prepositions mixed that they're going to hell, they don't really believe.
No.
Just because we can't verbalize it.
No, remember, the faith that God's looking at is the faith of their heart, which is perfect.
That's right.
By the time it gets to their head, it's all screwed up.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can I remind people to attend Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection. We have service Saturday night at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you, 8646 New Sappington Road, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
And as you said, some people actually visited.
Yes.
So that's what time was that Saturday service?
5 p.m.
Okay, 5 p.m. and we'll
9 a.m. Sunday.
9 a.m. and Bible study?
Right after the service Sunday.
Tomorrow, Law and Gospel on Billy Graham's sermon. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.